How have I? Okay, good morning. Good morning, everyone. So on Fridays, we learn a few Rashis. So we take Wednesday and Friday, we have a special schedule. So I just want to discuss a couple of Rashis and elaborate upon them. Parsha Shoftim, so the people are about to go to war. And the Kohen Mashuach, one of the Kohanim, whose specific task is to lead them into battle, he delivers a rousing speech. And in Pasuk Gimel, he elaborates all the fears they're going to face and how they should avoid them. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Al tachpazu, don't be panicked. Al tarzu, don't be frightened. Al yirach levatchem, don't have your heart broken. I don't know, someone's telling me not to be afraid. Don't tell me so many times not to be afraid. Just build up my courage. Don't be afraid, don't be panicked, don't be frightened, don't be spooked, don't be horrified. At a certain point, it gets to you. So why is he being so deliberate, and why is he iterating so many different types of fears? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sota that there are four types of frightening events that people face in the battle. There is loud clanging noise, the enemy clasp their shields together. Come on, you've seen all these medieval war movies, the loud noises, and their horses and their elephants are trampling. You hear the footsteps, Romsim Besuseim. They're screaming with their voices, a lot of shouting. Today we have quiet drone warfare. But in medieval warfare, there's a lot of shouting and screaming and ferocious. And of course, the horns, Tokim and Shofaros. So aside from the actual weapons of war, there are a lot of subsidiary elements that can frighten you. The horses, the shields, the loud screaming, the shofaros. So, first of all, you have to be aware of the context, not just of the battle. Battle itself was frightening, but it's all the multimedia events that are also frightening. But Rashi says that the Kohen is listing four different times not to be afraid because he's iterating the four different psychological elements, or elements of psychological warfare that can frighten them. And then in the sex, in the ensuing Rashi actually attaches one phrase to one of these. Al yirach levavchem, that means the banging horses, the trampling horses. Al tiru, don't be afraid of the shields. Al tarzu, al tachpazu, don't be afraid of the horns. What's happening in Rashi is as follows. The nature of fear is that very often when we're afraid, where we're confused, and the fear could be physical, the fear can also be psychological, very often it's because there's a combination of factors that are stressing us. In life, it's very rarely one-dimensional, so a lot of things are stressing us. We're not feeling well. We have an altercation with someone in our world that we really care about. We didn't do well on a test. Something's bothering us. It's generally, we're able to handle one factor, one variable. But it's when things combine and group up upon us and team up against us that we get into a really bad state. We get very confused. We feel very helpless. We shut down. We fall into a fetal position. And very often the way to solve fear and the way to solve frustration and the way to solve these moments of depression or angst is just to say, you know what, I'm dealing with two or three issues. Each issue on their own is overcomable. Each issue on its own is not that bad. And sometimes if you delineate things, you take the monster out of the closet. Sometimes we're afraid to say things because we don't want to be too frontal. We don't want to be too explicit about the things that are vexing us. Sometimes it's good to talk about it, and when you put a title on it, when you define it, oh, this is what I'm facing, and in addition, I'm also confronting this issue and the third issue, but if I just deal with them one by one and I know that there are three different things, sometimes psychologically it makes it easier to digest and easier to process. So you may think that this is counterproductive for the Kohen to be so gory and to be so foreboding and say, by the way, you're going to face this and you'll face this and you'll face this and you'll face that. Don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. At some point, it's a little bit easier. It's just horses. It's just shields. It may sound terrifying in the heat of the battle, but just remind yourself, it's human beings banging shields. It's metal. It's not some foreign alien. It's not some volcanic eruption. It's not some great white shark. It's just shields. It's just sounds of shofaros. And you may feel like there's a combined effect that horrifies you and terrifies you. There are a lot of things happening, and if you can splice them and parse them and separate them and articulate, when you have these issues in life, very often boys come to me and they're really in a bad state, and I say, tell me what's on your heart. I say, you know what, what's really, really bothering you is that you've got three issues that you're facing, or four issues, but if you look at each of them on their own, they're not that insurmountable. They're not that overwhelming, and just deal with each on their own, rather than allowing them to cluster and to create this sense of panic. So instead of creating a cluster of undefined panic and fear, the Kohen Moshe Melchama is very delineating. These are the four things you're facing. They can be beaten. They can be vanquished. It's a very interesting Rashi. Now, who gets a pass? Who gets to come home from Shabbos? We have children in the army. The best thing you can have when you're in the army is to get a pass for Shabbos. Who gets to be Soger Shabbat Bavayit? Who gets a pass? Two different types of people. People who are busy with their fields that they haven't yet fully harvested, their vineyards, their wives that they haven't yet fully gelled with in their marriage, or just recently got married. They bought some land, haven't fully moved in. So that's one group of people. And then another group of people, Miha Ish Hayarei Baracha Livav. Okay, after those people get passes, the cowards get to go. Miha Ish Hayarei Baracha. Whoever's a coward gets to leave. Now, Rabbi Akiva felt that this was referring to people who just are afraid of war. It's important to be honest, it's important to be candid, because if you're cowardly and you're panicky, you can really infect everyone else with fear and with loathing and with dread. So it's important in the army for there to be confidence and morale and excitement. And Rabbi Yosef Glili said no. Rabbi Yosef Glili said, we're not talking about people who are afraid of warfare, but people who are worried about the averos. They may have certain averos that they carry with them. Guilt is a very, very shrinking experience. When you carry guilt, it can shrink your confidence. You can feel, I don't know that I'm confident about tomorrow because I'm carrying all this in. It's only for a religious person because it affects your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even for a non-religious person, even non-religious people have moral conscience. Not everyone who's non-religious is a psychopath. Anyone who's non-religious is morally neutral. There's some deeply, deeply moral people who live with deep guilt even when they don't believe in God. And that can be a very, it's not an empowering experience when you feel guilt is heavy, guilt is sad, guilt is frustrating. So when you carry guilt, and you carry too much guilt, so people who feel guilty because of the averos, they're less likely to come into battle. So those are the two different waves of people who get exempted. The people who have vineyards, wives, and homes, and then after they leave, the people, at least according to Yosef Glili, who are sinners, who are afraid of their sins. Rashi adds a twist. Rashi says, no. First, when they said you should leave for your house, your vineyard, and your wife, that was for people who really had houses, vineyards, and wives, and it was also a cover story for the sinners. Because the sinners don't want to go public with their sins. They want to get up and say, I'm a sinner, I'm a killer, I'm a rapist, I'm a thief, I'm on... So the people who sinned could leave during that first wave and make believe that they were recently married, and make believe that they had a vineyard, and make believe that they had land to tend to. So Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rashi says, Lekach tolsa lo Torah lachzer al bayis v'kerem v'isha. You know why the Torah first gives an exit pass for wives, vineyards, and land? Lechasos al hachozrim. In order to cover the embarrassment of those who are leaving because of their affairs. They shouldn't announce that we're sinners. So this is not Rashi speaking, this is me speaking. Okay, sometimes I'm just trying to say what Rashi's intentions are. Sometimes I'm giving you my commentary beyond Rashi, something that Rashi stimulated in my thought. Rashi talks about a cover story. It's embarrassing for me. I know I'm a sinner. It's embarrassing for me to announce that I'm a sinner, so it's easier for me to leave under the cover of I've got a vineyard to attend to. I've got a wife that I just married. I believe there's something else here. It's not just for people not to know my true identity as a sinner, but for myself. For myself to say, well, you know what? Maybe the reason I sinned was because I'm just so busy in life and because of the pressures of life of raising a family and tending to my vineyard. Maybe I fall. Maybe these boundaries are not that clear. Am I a sinner or am I just someone facing the pressures of life? Maybe I can tell myself, you know what, all those sins that I have, maybe it's because I have a lot of pressure in my life, and it's hard to raise a family, and it's hard to deal with my vineyard, and it's hard to have a wife and pretend to that. We're now facing Elul, and we're now facing Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we're facing our failures, and we're facing our, and part of it is honesty, brutal honesty, to see yourself as you are, not to give yourself a discount or exempt yourself. Part of it is trying to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, well, contextualize it. I know that I failed, but there are many pressures in my life that I'm facing. And sometimes some of those pressures account for my failures. There are some sins that are terrible, vice-driven sins. I have a lust. I'm rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm stealing someone. But many of our sins are because we're facing psychological pressures. And those psychological pressures cause us to be weak and cause us to be... And those psychological pressures are part of the stress in life. And Rabbi Soloveitchik talked about this a lot. You can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take into account the fact that I'm facing a lot. taken to the fact that I'm not rebelling against you and I'm not a slave to the flesh and to lust, but there's certain things I needed, and these were outlets, as we would say, unhealthy outlets, outlets we'd like to try to discontinue, but they're outlets for all the pressures bubbling within. So there's something very deeply psychological about a person leaving because he's a recently married person, because he has a vineyard. It's not just to cover up his picadillos and to save him the embarrassment of what his friends will say, but in his own mind, to create some validation, to say, I'm not a sinner. I committed a sin, but I'm not a sinner. I'm someone that leaves because of life's pressures. And sometimes those life's pressures create sins, but I'm not a sinner. There's a difference between someone who sins and someone who's a sinner. And I'm not a sinner, I have sins, and those sins are. So, are you leaving because of the pressures in life, or are you leaving because of your sins? Let's leave it ambiguous. Let's let people believe that it's one, not the other. Okay, finally, I want to make sure we're sticking to the time. Finally, the Kohen begins, and he says, V'yamar lehem, Shema Yisrael. So first, it reminds me of a very interesting story that I heard this week about Rav Tivari, Zichrono Livracha. And Rav Tivari was very close with a lot of the Rabbanim. He was in many different cities in his life. He was in Toronto for many years. He was in England. He was in Riverdale. He was in Los Angeles. He wasn't just in Eretz Yisrael. He was in a community in Eretz Yisrael called Pardes Chana, which is way up north. And one of the things people spoke about is he got close with the local Rabbanim in all the towns that he was. He loved Talmidei Chachamim, and he forged deep relationships with local Talmidei Chachamim in whatever city he was. So the story goes, one of the great, great Gedolim in North America was a Rav called Rav Hirschsprung. Rav Hirschsprung was a Rav in Montreal. He literally knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart. And Rav Tivari was very close to Rav Hirschsprung. So at some point, I don't know whether Rav Hirschsprung gave Rav Tivari this riddle or Rav Tivari gave Rav Hirschsprung. But at some point, Rav Tivari, Zichrono Livracha, and Hirschsprung were sitting together, and Rav Hirschsprung asked Rav Tivari or someone near him, where does it say in Maseches Gittin Shema Yisrael? So the person who was asked this riddle was a pretty big Talmud Chacham himself, and he quickly reviewed in his mind Gittin, and doesn't say Shema Yisrael. Again, it says Shema Yisrael and Bracha, says Shema Yisrael and Sachem. There's no place in Gittin that it says Shema Yisrael. So Rav Hirschsprung waited till the guy conceded, and the guy caved, and he says, Ta Shema Yisrael Shenasan Gelisht. There's a part, Ta Shema Yisrael Shenasan Gelisht. So it says Shema Yisrael. You really have to know Shas well to play those types of word games. You're thinking Shema Yisrael in context. Ta Shema Yisrael Shenasan Gelisht. So it says Shema Yisrael in Gittin. So I was thinking about that when I was reading Parsha Shoftim, because it says Shema Yisrael out of context. Be'amar Aleihem, the Kohen should begin his speech. Atem krivim ayom la'milchama. You're about to start the war. What do you say, Shema Yisrael? Oh, listening. They're not looking at their YouTubes. They're about to go into war. People going to war, take away their cell phones. So he's looking at YouTubes. He has to get their attention. They're all watching him and listening. He says, Shema Yisrael. One of the most annoying parts of having children in Israel, when you come from Chutz La'aretz, as Rabbi Benzi and I can attest to, is that in Hebrew, people say, Shema, listen. And then when you translate to English, listen, it's a little rude in English, say, listen, because I'm listening to you. In Hebrew, the word Shema, Tishma, is not so rude. But when it translates into English, you have a lot of your friends, listen, I'm here, I'm listening, you don't have to tell me to listen. So Rashi says that what the Kohen is saying is, even if your only schus is Shema Yisrael, don't be worried. That will help you in warfare. Shema Yisrael, you may be a tzaddik, you may be less of a tzaddik, but if you have Shema Yisrael under your belt, then you're fine. Which means that Shema Yisrael becomes the baseline, the threshold, the minimum. We're all trying to achieve great ambitions in our avodas Hashem, but we may fall short, and Shema Yisrael becomes that baseline. If you have Shema Yisrael, the Gemara Menachos says, the Torah has no shir, Eluz Ram Shein Lam Shir. But the Gemara Menachos and Daf Memtes does give a shir. That even if you only say Shema in the morning and the evening, you're Mekayim, your Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And there's a big debate amongst the Amoraim whether you should publicize that. One Amora says you shouldn't publicize it because people won't learn Torah. One Amora says you should publicize it. I think it's Rabba, just to give people validation. You try to learn as hard as you can, but you should still feel good about yourself no matter what you do, as long as you're providing something. Why is Shema Yisrael the baseline? Because it establishes a basic belief in Hashem. Obviously, we want to translate our belief in Hashem to Torah and to mitzvahs and to history and the rest of Shema. How many Jews today in Israel are Shema Yisrael Jews? Figuratively and literally. You'll spend a lot of time this year meeting Jews in Israel, many different types of Jews. You'll meet a lot of Jews that are called Masorati Jews. And a lot of those Jews are Sephardic Jews. Ashkenazic Jews sometimes become a little bit more radical and polar. Either you're Dati or you're not dati. If you're not dati, you don't keep anything about Shabbos, maybe you have a meal. But especially in Sephardic culture, there's a large middle space called Mesorati. Jews who keep Shabbos, but not Lametes Melachos, and they come to Shul, and they say Shema, and they say Tehillim every day, and you'll meet a lot of people like that, not only, but especially in the Sephardic world. And a lot of us would call them Shema Yisrael Jews. And they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they believe in His authority, but the translation into absolute halachic fidelity, that's not always there. But they're Shema Yisrael Jews, and they're Mekabo Malchus Shemayim, and this is the pasuk that establishes Shema Yisrael as like the threshold, that even if, and that's why Shema Yisrael is the pasuk that every single Jew across the world knows, magically, no matter how far they are. You can interview almost any single Jew in this world. And even though they might not know Torah, they may not know Tehillim, they may not know Asher Yatzar, they may not know Bar Nefashos, but the pasuk Shema Yisrael has this magical sway on the Jewish heart. And the Kohen was the first person to identify that. It's called Mashiach. Even if you're far, you're still close, because the Shema Yisrael is Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. So three different Rashis. One Rashi is it a cover story for the sinners, or is it allowing the sinners to see themselves in a certain way? The first Rashi we talked about is the nature of fear. Is sometimes it clusters up on you. And if you just separate them and articulate them, you take the monster out of the closet, it's not so scary anymore. And number three, Shema Yisrael is the threshold. Even if you just have Shema Yisrael, you'll be successful with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance in battle. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.